praise you, Jesus. Glory and honor and praise we give to you, O God. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you that your word never returns to you void. It always will prosper where it is sent to go. Lord, I thank you that we trust in you. We trust your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word always works for us. We thank you, Lord, for who we are and everything that Jesus has done and paid for us on the cross, Lord. We are so grateful. Every place of blood that was shed over us and Jesus, so we could be free from the curse of the law, so we could be healed and delivered, inner healing also, every wounding, everything. We have authority to rule and reign. We are co-seated with him in heavenly places. Lord, you have given us to everything to rule and reign here on this earth. And Lord, we're so thankful you even gave us a new identity. So Lord, we just thank you and praise you for your word today. Lord, I thank you as we go through it, Lord. We're just building up our faith. We're building up our inner man to know who we really are in Christ. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Wow. Okay. Part four, revelation of our salvation. So I'm going to be doing a little review at first so everybody's on the same page, and then we'll get into the next part. So we started off with a question. Do we really know and understand about our salvation? And the Lord kept reminding me, just keep going slow. Don't be in a hurry to finish the message, because we really need to get in this, in our spirit, and to know the power of the cross. Okay? Salvation is sozo. It means heal, to be made whole, to save, to deliver, to protect, preserve, do well, be made whole, recover, restore. It also means to properly deliver out of danger and into safety. The word sozo is also used primarily of God rescuing believers from penalty and the power of sin and into his provisions. And the main scripture verse is Galatians 2:20, and I will read that. I'll be using the Passion today, so Galatians 2:20, we probably should know this one by heart by now. It says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives, for the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the anointed one lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. Hallelujah. So if we were co-crucified with him, all that Jesus paid for on the cross has been put to death for us. All the sin, death, hunger, lack, poverty, sickness, disease, attacks of the enemy, persecution, hatred, rejection, abuse, abandonment, torture, betrayal, addictions, and all the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:13. Hallelujah. There are many aspects of what Christ has done for us on the cross. When we receive Christ and repent of our sins and receive the gift of forgiveness, eternal life, we become a new creation. All of God's promises, including Abraham's blessings, come upon us. We become one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Praise you, Jesus. We also, this is continuing on review, we also went through the seven places Jesus shed his blood to cover all the aspects of what Christ has done for us on the cross to redeem us back. he paid off the debt. It is all paid in full. So as you could see on the cross, every one of those things were paid for, and on the reverse is what our replacement is. I'm not going to go through those today. So, but if you want to look at them later, go ahead. So continuing in review, the true power of the cross is in the wisdom of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. True wisdom comes from above and is given by divine revelation to those that are teachable, humble before God. That comes from the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2:6, it says, wisdom is found in the cross. Wisdom is power. The cross explains the power in the kingdom. Jesus announces the kingdom of God has come and is revealed in the cross by the Holy Spirit. Someone who is not born again does not understand these revelations. They will look at you crooked. It is only revealed to a born-again, spirit-filled believer of Christ. Jesus comes as the true Son and redefines power by displaying strength through weakness. He doesn't exploit his power, but he empties himself. And in the scriptures tell us in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, he becomes a servant of all and thereby is exalted as ruler of all. We have been co-crucified and co-raised with him. The cross conquers sin and death. The cross cancels out all record of debt against humanity. That's found in Colossians 2:14. And Jesus bore our sins in his body so that we may die to sin and death. And by his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. The curse of sin and death, poverty, sickness, and all the curse was placed and nailed to the cross. Galatians 3:13. Because through the death and the resurrection of Christ, that death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15, 54-55. This is all review yet. The cross not only conquers sin and death, but also conquers the spiritual forces of darkness. There was a cosmic eruption that day when Jesus went to the cross. Between the day of the crucifixion and the day of the resurrection, while in the spirit realm, Jesus destroyed death, powers of darkness, and every work of the enemy through the blood of his cross. All the enemy's weapons have been stripped away from him, and now the church has authority in Christ to enforce this triumph upon the dethroned rulers of this world and made them a public spectacle. Colossians 2:15, love that scripture. Public display Jesus made of them. Knowing this, the enemy can only fool us or deceive us. He has no power over us. You hear that? He can only deceive us. This knowledge and revelation empowers us as a Christian. When Christ rose from the dead, he was and is seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, and power. And we learned all this in Ephesians 1. In Ephesians chapter 2. And we've been also co-raised and co-seated with him in heavenly places also. The cross represents the greatest exchange for atonement and the greatest transition for all mankind. The old nature, the old sin nature, was nailed to the cross so that we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The only true peace for the world is to receive Christ. It is all found in the cross. The cross brings peace, reconciliation, and unity. It cancels out all evil. The cross is the only remedy for the world to change. The only way. At the cross, the whole world has the opportunity to be reconciled to the Father, to the Father's love, the peace that the world is seeking. And the unity for all people is found in the blood of Christ. No blood, no harmony. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and on earth is brought back to himself. It is brought back to its original intent, restored us back to innocence again. This is found in Colossians 1:20. When we were born again, we entered into Christ's death and his resurrection. As believers, we've been co-crucified with him and co-raised with him, and we are co-seated with him in heavenly places. We now understand so far that we all get the benefits and the victory from the cross because we were symbolically crucified with him as believers. United together with him, we receive it all. Hallelujah. This is our inheritance. A person has to die in order to receive an inheritance. And Jesus is the firstborn heir. The cross is our marching orders as Christians. The cross is the good news that has to be shared and demonstrated before people and preached to the far ends of the earth. Not only the far ends to the earth, but we got a mission field right here. Amen. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. That was all review. Okay, so as we continue on this message about the power of the cross, another aspect is we are now a new creation. The old self, the old sin nature without the Holy Spirit was also nailed to the cross with Jesus in order that our body of sin might be done away with or destroyed so that we don't continue again to serve sin, to be a servant to it. We have to turn to Romans 5:12 to understand why Jesus had to sacrifice himself for all mankind. So let's turn to Romans 5:12. Okay, it starts when it says, when Adam sinned, the entire world was affected. Sin entered human experience and death was the result. And so death followed the sin, casting its shadow over all humanity because all have sinned. Sin was in the world before Moses gave the written law, but it was not charged against them where no law existed. Yet death reigned as king from Adam to Moses, even though they hadn't broken a command the way Adam had. The first man, Adam, was a picture of the Messiah who was to come. Now there is no comparison between Adam's transgression and the gracious gift that we experience, for the magnitude of the gift far outweighs the crime. It's true that many died because of one man's transgression, but how much greater will God's grace and his gracious gift of acceptance overflow to many because of what one man, Jesus the Messiah, did for us. Hallelujah. So in the beginning, sin ruled the world. The penalty of sin and the wages of sin is death. The law was introduced into God's plan, all 613 of them. It was required to live by all of them. And like I said last time, if you broke one, you broke them all. And the sin was only covered when the priest sacrificed animals. No, the priest sacrificed animals. All kinds. Yeah. So they had to live by that. And the reason why, it was to bring the reality of human sinfulness. The people didn't know they were sinning. There wasn't any standard, no Holy Spirit to lead them. Because of Jesus, the Messiah, he had to sacrifice himself for all mankind to conquer all sin. Sin was covered by his blood once and for all. It's a gift of grace. Let's continue reading in Romans 6, 1 through 11. It says, so what do we do then? Do we persist in sin so that God's kindness and grace will increase? What a terrible thought. We have died to sin once and for all as dead man passes away from this life. So how could we live under sin's rule a moment longer? Or have you forgotten that all of us who were immersed into union with Jesus, the anointed one, were immersed into union with his death? Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried and entombed with him, so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. For since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his and the new life that it imparts. Could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us, so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. Hallelujah. Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. We are dead men walking. And if we were co-crucified with the Anointed One, we know that we will also share in the fullness of his life. And we know that since the Anointed One has been raised from the dead to die no more, his resurrection life has vanquished death in its power over him. It is finished. For by his sacrifice, he died to sin's power once and for all. But he now lives continuously for the Father's pleasure. And that's what we should be doing. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One. There's a lot there. So we were co-buried and entombed with Jesus. When Jesus was raised from the dead, we also were raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him so we can be empowered to walk in a new life. The stronghold of sin, our former identity, is now and forever deprived of its power because we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin in us. Now we have the power not to sin. So I'm going to have to put up a new sign here. The old sin nature was nailed to the cross, and our replacement is a new identity in Christ Jesus. There we go. So before you were born again, all that was nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. But we are always dealing with the flesh. When the flesh is weak, the spirit is strong. It is only by the obedience of the Holy Spirit in us that we can conquer the flesh. Okay, let's look at Galatians 5:24. Galatians 5:24. It says, keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus, the Anointed One, have already experienced crucifixion. For everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with the Messiah. We must live in the Holy Spirit and follow after him. So may we never be arrogant or look down on another, for each of us is an original. We must forsake all jealousy that diminishes the value of others. Hallelujah. It is the believer who has to take action to not allow temptations to produce sinful desires. So let's look at Galatians 5:16-18. So we got to back up. Okay, what did I say? Galatians 5:16. 16-18. It says, as you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. Every time I say self-life, that's flesh, okay, or fleshly desires. For your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. So then the incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation of life in the Spirit. But when you are brought into the full freedom of the Spirit of grace, you will no longer be living under the denomination of the law or the flesh, but soaring above it. Hallelujah. So our old sin nature, or our old self, versus the new nature, the new creation. The former is inspired by Satan, of course, for he just loves sin and hates righteousness. The new believer in Christ loves holiness and hates sin, walks in righteousness because of Jesus. Here is a list of traits about our old sin nature. I'm just following the Holy Spirit here. Okay, we loved sin. The old sinful flesh hates holiness and loves to indulge in sin, Romans 5:12. Old self was selfish. The natural man is all about himself and not loving others, 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8. We were self-centered. It is always about themselves and everything they're doing. And then in 2 Timothy 3:2, it says, in the last days, many will be lovers of themselves. So it's going to increase and been increasing. The old self hates holiness. They hate the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:12. They take pleasure in unrighteousness and evil acts and hates what is good. Cardinal implies that the old nature only has a mind on things of the flesh and not of the spirit, Romans 8:5. Corruption. Sin nature is the reason why humans do all sorts of corrupt and imaginable abominations against themselves, others, and God. And this started in Genesis 6:11 through 13. Being proud. A sin nature is always haughty and prideful. It is displayed in how they conduct themselves with others. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride comes before a fall, and that is what Satan got kicked out of heaven for. Disobedient to God. The old nature naturally gravitates to a spirit of disobedience, Ephesians 2:2. Wickedness. Old nature has tendencies to be immoral, has evil thoughts and deeds. They can be murderers, sexual perversions, rapists. Jesus said in the last days, Matthew 24:12, that the love of many will wax cold due to the increase of wickedness. Sensual. Old nature likes to do things that gratify their sinful flesh. James 3:15 to 12 talks about that worldly wisdom is sensual and devilish, as it only appeals to the sinful flesh and doesn't draw close to God. Hatred is the opposite of love. That makes people do all sorts of evil and vile things to their fellow humans, which is why hatred is dangerous and a source of all murder. In 1 John 3:15, it says that if you hate your brother, you're a murderer, and that you have no eternal life in you. And if you hate others, you are of the Father, the devil. That's pretty strong words there. Fears God's presence. The sinful nature wants to hide from God's presence because of the sin inside of them. They don't want to be exposed. Jesus says in Mark 8:34, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take up your cross is a figure of speech closely related to crucifying the flesh. Believers are to behave like a person carrying his own cross to the place of execution. Crucifying the flesh illustrates the putting to death of selfish and sinful desires. Believers are to take their old nature and nail it to the cross. Okay? We crucify the flesh through repentance of sin by turning our backs on the old way of life, by saying no to selfish and sinful passions, and by utterly pronouncing the flesh. Romans 6:13 says, "Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God." Okay, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 11. Getting hot up here. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God and Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. You are one with Jesus in his glory. So Paul again is telling us that we've been co-crucified with Christ, we've been resurrected with Christ. Our new life has been cut off from the old life. We are now hidden away with God in Christ. We are to walk as dead men, not carrying out evil deeds and desires. We are now new creations in Christ Jesus. We now live as one with Jesus, so the results of the new creation in Christ Jesus acts as described in Colossians 3, 12 through 17. So just stay where you're at, and this is the way we should be acting. And you all are. Amen. You are always and dearly loved by God, so robe yourselves with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. You are holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness to all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each one of us. How does it say that? Says, for love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. So let your heart be always guided by the peace of the anointed one who called you to peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then it says in Ephesians 4:22, Paul tells us to let go of the old self-life, or another way of putting it, throw off the old sin nature of our former way of life. So now if we read Ephesians chapter 4, 17, let's look at that. It's awfully quiet in this Presbyterian church. You can hear a pin drop. Bink. You're learning, I know. It's intense, isn't it? Okay, so it says here, so with the wisdom given to me from the Lord, I say, you should not live like the unbelievers around you who walk in their empty delusions. Their corrupted logic has been clouded because their hearts are so far from God. Their blinded understanding and deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from the true knowledge of God. Because of spiritual apathy, they surrender their lives to lewdness, and impurity, and sexual obsession. But this is not the way of life that Christ has unfolded within you. If you have really experienced the Anointed One and heard His truth, it will be seen in your life, for we know that the ultimate reality is embodied in Jesus. And He has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of an ancient man, the old self life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with Him. For God has recreated you all over again in His perfect righteousness, and you now belong to Him in the realm of true holiness. So disregard every form of dishonesty and lying so that you will be known as one who always speaks the truth, for we all belong to one another. And then, I got to put this in here. But don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fuel for revenge, not for even one day. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. Amen. Don't be manipulated by that thing. I love what it says in verse 30. Did we read verse 30? It says, the Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experienced your full salvation. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted His holy influence in your life. Amen. I love that. Whoo! Glory, glory, glory. Where am I? So all of us who are in Christ, everyone in here is born again believer. Amen. We are new creations. All of us, brand new. The old is gone. We are no longer worldly, but now we are spiritual. Remember our death. The old sin nature was nailed to the cross with Christ. It was buried with Him, and just as He was raised up by the Father, so are we raised up to walk in the newness of life with Him. To understand the new creation, first, it is something created by God. It's a new birth. A born-again experience was brought about by the will of God. We did not inherit the new nature from our parents, thank God. We did not decide to recreate ourselves anew. Can't do it. God didn't just clean us up from our old nature. He created something fresh, new, and all of us are unique. We are a brand new creation brought about from nothing. Just as the universe was created by God from nothing, only God could accomplish this task. That's a miracle in itself. That's an act of love and grace. Secondly, all the old things have passed away. The old refers to everything that is part of our old nature, natural pride, love of sin, reliance on works and our former opinions, habits and passions, all of our self-righteousness, self-promotion, self-centeredness, and self-justification passed away. The new creation looks outwardly towards Christ instead of inwardly towards self. The old things have died and nailed to the cross. The old dead things are now replaced with new things, full of life in the glory of God. We are newborn souls, and we delight in the things of God and not of things of the world and the flesh. Our purposes, feelings, and desires are fresh and different. A life to us now, we see beauty in the things that we hadn't seen before. We have a new kind of love towards mankind. The things we once loved, we now detest. The sin we once held on to, we now desire to put away forever. We put off the old man with its deeds, and we put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, you may ask, what about the Christian who continues to sin? Good question. There's a difference between continuing to sin and continuing to live in sin. No one reaches sinless perfection in this life, but the redeemed Christian is being sanctified. That means made holy day by day, sinning less and hating it more each time we fail at it. Yes, we will still sin, but unwillingly and less frequently as we mature. We are still a work in progress. Say, I'm a work in progress. Yes, hallelujah. Our new self hates the sin that still has a hold on us. The difference is that the new creation is no longer a slave to sin as we formerly were. We are now freed from sin, and it no longer has power over us. Praise God. Romans 6, 11 through 12 says, now we are empowered by and for righteousness. We now have the choice to let sin reign or to count ourselves, dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Best of all, we have the power to choose the latter. I hope we all choose to be dead to sin and alive in God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. We have a new identity in Christ Jesus. Think about that. You've been remade, recreated, and still being perfected. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Remember, it's up here. Don't allow the enemy to tell you otherwise. You've got a new identity. Hallelujah. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you and praise you for the cross once again. Lord, we thank you that our old sin, our old sin nature, our old self was nailed to that cross. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed all over it. Lord, I thank you that we are now new creations in Christ Jesus. The old have passed away. Lord, I thank you as we live day by day, you're recreating us new and fresh. And Lord, that you are coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. Lord, we thank you and praise you. You said we are holy. You said we are righteous. You said, Lord, and you're speaking good things over us, so we become everything that we're supposed to be. Lord, I thank you that you have a plan and a will for every one of us, Lord, for your glory. Lord, I thank you that you fill us up with the Holy Spirit, that you lead us and guide us into all truth, and that you lead us into good paths and good things, Lord. Lord, I thank you by the Holy Spirit that you open up doors for us to witness to people, Lord, as we are your advertisements. Let us be good billboards, Lord, for you. We are your ambassadors here on this earth. And Lord, let's look at our mission field, our neighbors, schools, wherever we go, wherever we shop, Lord, we are your advertisement. So, Lord, I thank you for opening up doors, especially around Christmas, Lord. It's so much easier to open up a conversation for you because even though it's not really your birthday, we're going to celebrate it anyway because it's Christmas. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you that you were born and that you said, I will go and die for all of them, and you did it for us. So, Lord, we're so grateful and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.